Hello, and you are listening to FP Cast, the podcast for Fruitless Pursuits, where we bullshit about the week in pop culture. I am Luke.
And I'm Jacinta.
And this week we are talking about lots of balls, lots of eyebrows. I don't think you have to be a genius to put together the connection that we are talking about Valerian and the City of 1000 Planets.
Or Ball Eyebrows 2, The Reckoning.
Which is our feature review for today. Look forward to that one. But before we get into all of that, can I say that I am very proud to announce this is a very illustrious episode. Jacinta, this is episode one, number 177.
Mm-hmm. And why is it 177, Luke?
And funny story. Now, we did hype the fact that this was going to be episode 200. And then,
well, you hyped that it was going to be episode 200 while I was thinking, oh, that's not what my document says, but sure, we'll just go with that.
And you messaged me and you basically, well, what did you have to say?
I accused you of not being able to count.
Yeah. You said, I think it's, according to my stuff, it's a week later.
Yeah.
So I took it upon myself to mansplain numbers to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did.
I didn't believe you. And I thought, I said to you, look, Jacinta, I wrote it slowly. I don't know if that helped. I typed it slowly. And I said, I've got everything on the hard drive there.
Mm.
And they're numbered.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking back. They're numbered. 197, 198, 199 was last week. This mm-hmm. is 200.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. And you said,
I still feel like you're wrong.
Yeah, not according to my doctor. And I said, well, look, I said in a placating, condescending manner.
Mm-hmm.
I'll double check when I get home.
How good of you.
Yeah. And then I don't know what it was, maybe some sort of twinge of conscience or whatever, but I did actually open up the thing and check.
Mm.
Looking down the numbers, they look good to me,
mm-hmm.
counting down from 199. And then I realized something. We never did an episode 177.
Oh.
Skipped it. And this was back in January, I think. Very heady time. I was on holidays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything.
So you're away from work, so you forget how numbers work.
Everything yeah. was a little bit loosey-goosey
mm-hmm.
in that period. But, yeah, you were right. So we had an option here. Mm. We could deceive the audience, because they're not keeping track. We don't number the episodes on iTunes.
Lord, no.
And we could pretend to have a 200. But what's the main thing we've said that we always do on this podcast?
We tell the truth.
That's right. We tell the truth. So we had to come clean.
Mm. I had to actually think about that for a second. Because what do we do?
No, we tell the truth. So, you know, do we do 199B? No, we have to do an episode 177.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't really review Valerian. We've got to just...
it's not out yet.
No, we've just got to talk about how we're looking forward to it.
Mm.
And
how we're looking forward to, like, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man looks good.
Yeah.
I hear Tony.
I'm really looking forward to the Great Wall. I hear that's going to be just...
I hear it's whitewashing all over the shop. I hear it's
so absolutely racist putting Matt Damon in it. Ooh.
Offensive. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to boycott it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. We could have done a retro episode. Could have done everything from January. But let's go forward. Now, other bit of business is that this probably sounds a little bit funny. It doesn't sound quite like it normally does. And that's because we're recording in a completely different room. We're downstairs using two studio mics in a completely different setup. And while the setup looks far more professional, and we can look each other in the eyes.
Which is unfortunate, but yes.
Yeah, doesn't this feel casual? Now this is a conversation between you and I.
Mm.
Now that we can look at each other.
Mm.
The reason is that, well, this is the setup for Fruitless Pursuits, a very new show, which hopefully may even be debuting as soon as tomorrow, Tuesday. We're just trying to work out all the details with the hosting and everything. But this show, if you haven't heard about it, I announced it on our Facebook group, but I hope there's far more listeners than that appear there. Myself, my partner Suzanne, who has been a host on Book Was Better, and also Zach and Paris, who have been hosts on Book Was Better, We're doing a Dungeons and Dragons podcast. Now, I know there are a billion of those. It's in the zeitgeist. But we are doing an Australian Dungeons and Dragons podcast.
Mm.
So this is down under. This is Fantasy Australia, where everything wants to kill you. Drop bears, dunnies, dingoes. This show is called Dungeons and Drongos. We like to call it Dungeons and Dickheads, but I don't think we were going to get away with that on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
We've recorded 3 episodes. It'll be a weekly show. I'm so proud of it. It's been so fun. So please look out for that. But because we had 4 people recording, we needed more space. And while this is great to have the 2 mics, you don't realize the insulating power of 3,000 toys.
Mm.
So, a little bit hollow.
Yes. It's very, very roomy.
A little bit echoey.
Mm.
Yeah. But, I don't know, maybe that just adds to the power.
It makes it sound like we're recording in a cathedral as opposed to a dungeon.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a toy dungeon. That sounds a bit...
creep dungeon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I once had this... girls say to me, like, many, 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 many years ago, back when, like, pre-Suzanne, I was in a different house, and she said, I heard you've got, like, a big collection of toys. And this was, like, drunk at a party, and I said, yeah, I do. And she was like, oh, I like toys. She actually thought I had some kind of, like, sex room. No, I had a lot of Simpsons figures.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right.
So... imagine the disconnect.
Was this like student days kind of thing?
Yeah.
Why would students have the money to set up a sex den?
A sex den, yeah. In their little rental. Yeah. It was a little like back room weatherboard bungalow thing.
Yeah. They wouldn't have like enough supporting beams to
put a swing. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
If there's no swing, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's not a sex room.
Exactly.
Why only swings? Why not slides and roundabouts and things? Why has nobody unlocked the sexual potential of other playground equipment?
I feel like slides maybe don't have as much repetitive movement.
What about like sort of if you crossed a roundabout with the sort of human centipede style sexual conga line?
Mm-hmm. But it would only be good for like... like turkey slapping, surely. A merry-go-round.
A turkey slap machine.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I think you're envisioning something different. I think you're envisioning a whole bunch of guys standing around the edge of it with their penises out and people just get to walk up and just sort of like let them slap it. Like when you put a little bit of cardboard in the spokes of your bike.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. You can tell we don't have a lot of news. So... we're willing to go off on some wild tangents. But let's talk about the news. What sorts of things happened in the last week?
Not much.
Well, Cable was revealed.
Well, yeah, Cable was revealed. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to get that excited about Deadpool news, but I am very glad when the picture went up on our Facebook page that Paris was the first one to put hashtag daddy because I didn't want to be the first one to say that. So thanks, Paris.
Appreciate I did like that. Ryan Reynolds describing Cable as a grumpy uncle. I think that's a pretty good place to start. I think Brolin looked great.
Yeah.
He was safe casting and you can tell it just works. He's bulked up. Very true to the comic. But then that's one of those things. Like he's such a sort of that kind of second tier character, or unless you at some point engage with comics or cartoons and things, you would just have no clue who he was. But he was like, was all up in that X-Men in the early 90s when I was reading it.
Mm-hmm.
He was even in the cartoon, because I remember that in the cartoon, there's a bit where there's this guy on there. And if someone can find a gif of this, I would love it. I mean, I could find, but I'm so busy. But he's got this guy kneeling in front of him and he pulls out a pin of a grenade with his teeth and just spits the pin into the back of the guy's head. That was like on that cartoon, which was pretty safe. But I don't know if they'll address the fact, like, you know who his daddy is, right?
No.
Cyclops.
Okay.
Yeah, he's Cyclops' son, Cyclops and Jean Grey's son, who had some sort of weird infection. I can't think of what sort of weird mystery infection might have been around in the sort of late 80s, early 90s that
who knows?
Could cause this sort of problem. Scott, stay away from Psylocke. but he, they sent him off into the future to find a cure. And then he comes back and he's an old man. So like my son's an old man. I missed all this important, what do America, like if they throw baseballs and stuff. How many, like if I had a dollar for every time someone says like, hey, let's play catch with my boy, or I never was able to play catch with my boy. in an American film,
mm-hmm.
be pretty rich.
Yeah.
Scrooge McDuck levels.
Mm.
Have a vault.
You could have a vault.
My boy vault.
Yeah, you could swim in it. I always wondered with, like, Scrooge McDuck, like, there's all that stuff with, like, presumably he's, like, an American character, right? And he's got a vault of coins.
American character, but he's from Scotland.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But, like, it's taking place in an American yes. kind of reality.
In Duckburg.
Yes, and so he's got a vault full of coins.
Mm.
Like, coin values in America are, like, not much, right?
True.
So he's not actually that rich.
I think he has, like, silver dollars and stuff, though. Maybe they're gold coins.
Maybe.
He just, like, gets them minted, and it's
maybe he's just, like, imported, like, a whole lot of gold coins from Australia, and they're all just a dollar. He's
still just a lot of dollars. Probably when you worked it out, not... Oh, I don't know.
Hmm.
My grandfather worked at the Royal Australian Mint
mm-hmm.
in Canberra, which produces Australia's coins.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you would see, like, big buckets of them. And I guess that would hold, like, many tens of thousands of dollars.
Hmm, I guess so.
His job was, and I got to do this at one point, if people are thinking this is a funny story, it's not, this is just informative, was prepping the...
There's no place for that on this podcast, Luke.
Prepping the dies. So you've got mm-hmm. the dies that print the coins, and any slightest, tiniest little, literally speck of dust perfection has to be taken out, because you don't want that replicated across all these coins and everything has to be the same. So they got this team with these giant microscopes, and they're looking, and they've got their little tools, and they are just literally just cleaning, scraping every microscopic grain off of these things. Fascinating.
So they're rubbing their little tools over the coin dies.
Rubbing their little tools, slapping it all over those coins.
Mm.
Amazing. Cable, yeah. So, oh, we didn't talk about Domino. That was a bit rude. If we're going to talk about Cable.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We should talk about Domino.
Yeah, we should, I guess.
Are you familiar with Domino as a character? No. See, again, she was around in that time. See, that's why it's interesting to me, and I was excited about this, because especially in the 90s, you're reading that stuff, you would never dream that, like, a character like Cable, and plus I just told you his origin story. I'm not sure that's going to be his origin story in the film, because I don't even know if they're allowed to use Cyclops, etc., even by name. But they're those convoluted things that just seem to hold no place in, like, a mainstream feature-length film, and plus he's just he's a pretty dumb character with all these pouches. I don't know what do you think his pouches are filled with?
Cigars, I guess.
Yeah, I would say
he's
tobacco.
Like,
I would
a cigar
think maybe.
Guy, right?
I think he'd roll his own.
Yeah.
And jerky, I would think.
Yeah.
And like different flavors.
Mm-hmm.
So in all the different pockets. But yeah, I never would have dreamed that you would see Cable in, like, a film that's going to be in cinemas. So for me, it was like seeing this sort of realization of, you know, like 25 years later, oh, now finally here's Cable. So yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. And certainly around that time as well, I know Brolin from Lost Boys. I'm not picturing him as Cable. He wouldn't even fit half those pouches on him back then. So I think that's really interesting. Domino, I'm surprised that... I kind of like the look as a sort of thing, but it veers off comic Domino. And for someone that's like... For someone, I mean the filmmakers, who have been quite keen on replicating comic book designs, they've gone a bit more left field. I mean, no issue, of course, with like casting a black woman. I think that's great. I think she's probably going to... I've seen her in Atlanta and stuff. I think she's going to actually have the presence that you want from that. And I can also absolutely understand why you're going, well, we're not going to put a lot of white face paint on this lady and then have a black eye. So the reversal's fine, but all the other things like the big afro and the actual costume are very different.
Mm.
So... I like it aesthetically, like I like how it looks, but I'm curious as to why, when everything else was straight out of the comics, why they didn't go towards something else like that, why they went, oh no, let's throw that away and do something different. Because, you know, I wouldn't have minded seeing Domino as well. There was in the 90s, like there was a comic I had, I think it was an issue of X-Force, and she got in the bath with Cable. It was a little bit saucy. I mean, it was drawn by Rob Liefeld, so everybody looked like a fucking crazy mess of polygons. But yeah, in the 90s, I mean, you didn't have the like internet or anything, so you took what you could get.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sexy.
Mm.
Here's a big thing for the week. Everybody Like, you don't have to be a Star Wars fan or anything like that. If you're
I think you probably do.
If you're at the water cooler at work, if you're getting on the bus, you're in the supermarket, everybody is talking about Porgs.
You mean those little disc things from the 90s that you would play the game with?
Everyone's collecting Porgs. You'll see them in parks
Simpsons
and stuff.
Porgs and...
It's taken over from Pokemon Go.
Superhero Porgs.
No, what is a Porg in 2017? And this is one of those funny things. You're hearing this word, and if you don't know what a Porg is, you're going, I've never heard of a Porg. You're going to hear of a Porg.
Oh, you are going to be so sick of Porgs by Christmas time. You are going to hate Porgs.
So what's a Porg?
A Porg's the new Ewok.
So
it's a new little fluffer Star Wars cute big-eyed thing.
It's kind of got like a baby seal face and a little penguin-y bird body.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And they live on the island where Luke is training Rey. Chewbacca seems to have taken a shine to them because if you look at some of the action figures that are coming out, he's packaged with a Porg. There's a pop vinyl where he's holding a Porg. And the whole Porg thing hit its true levels of Porg-tensity this week when a photo came out of Chewbacca in the Millennium Falcon with a Porg sitting in the co-pilot seat. Looking not entirely like that's where he should be.
So I think either the Porg has been a stowaway of its own choosing, or perhaps Chewbacca has stolen that Porg from its family for some sort of Porgy slavery trade.
Some sort of wicked act. I don't know. I think Porg consent is something that we'll probably be talking about a lot every single episode from now on.
Yep.
But I think that will sort of come out there. I think it's going to be a big Tumblr thing. And I kind of wonder what is happening there with the Porgs. Removing wildlife from its native place or introducing new animals into a spot. I mean, we can all remember what Johnny Depp did and Amber
Heard. Pistol and Boo, yes.
Yeah. Because he thought that, oh yeah, I pretend to have a chocolate factory, therefore...
My dogs are just sterile.
I'm above the law.
There's no diseases on them.
Yeah, absolutely fine. Everything's, you know, perfect and make-believe. No, not in real life, buddy. So I don't know what's going to happen with the Porgs. I think there's going to be a lot of Porg toys. I think there's going to be... I'd be surprised. Oh,
there is going to be so many Porg toys.
I'd be surprised if there's not some sort of animated Furby-esque kind of Porg.
No. Oh, God.
Hot item this Christmas, life-size. They've got to be making one of those. We're in an awkward position when it comes to Porg and the hashtag Porg Life because we're influencers. So I think that... this is going to go either two ways. Three ways, maybe. Either they're going to be so cool, they're going to be like Darth Maul, where everyone's like, yeah, that was... they're the shit. It's going to be like Jar Jar Binks, where they're like, oh, this... I suddenly realized this children's movies are for children, and now I'm really, like, upset about it. Now I feel insecure because I've got a Star Wars tattoo and everyone at work thinks I'm an infant. Or... it's going to go Ewoks, where everyone's like at first, like buys at the pub, yeah, this is great. And then they get a bit older and go, oh, that was just an excuse to buy dumb toys. Ewoks suck. And then a bit later, something worse comes out and then they go, Ewoks are awesome because they eat people and they play drums on a helmet, which still has a head in it. So we've got to make that decision. I think we should make a stance now because whatever we say, people will... really be influenced by.
I mean, at this point, I'm pro-Porg, but I haven't seen a Porg in action, so I'm reserving my final decision until I've actually seen the film.
No, that's not how the internet works.
Well, the internet can bite my ass.
You want an informed decision based on the actual material.
I want an informed decision.
Christ. We're pro-Porg.
Yeah.
We're living the Porg life from now on.
That's my next tattoo. In script Porg life across my forearm.
Oh, Christ. You dare me to get a Porg tattoo before the film comes out.
I wouldn't dare you. You've got heaps of dumb tattoos. That's not even, like, a weird thing to ask you to get.
That's just a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, Porg life. We are porging it up. I think maybe we should change some of our intros and things on the podcast to like, hey, you're listening to Fruitless Pursuits, Porg It Up, baby! Ow! Let's see what's porging up in the news this week.
Maybe that's our replacement for Camelot. Porg It Up!
Porg It Up! So yeah, Porg Life, 2017, 2018, I think they're going to get momentum. I think they're going to carry through. Porg spin-off cartoon, Porg cereal, Porgios. Someone's going to record...
Porg Caravan of Courage.
Daisy can sing. She was doing something with like Anne Hathaway.
Can she?
Yeah, well, she was going to sing with Streisand. She was going to sing with Streisand and Anne Hathaway.
Okay.
They were going to do a thing together. Okay. Why didn't they sing, hey there, Porgy girl, on an island all squat and flat.
Maybe they don't have genders, Luke. You're pre-gendering them.
You got little wings, but they don't flap. You're a porgy girl. I don't know. I reckon Chewbacca's going to marry one.
Okay.
I mean, I reckon the honeymoon's going to be a fucking bloodbath.
Yeah, the marital night is going to be... there's going to be some mathematical logistics happening there.
True. True. He might need to get R2 to map out that course.
Yeah, but we don't really know what Wookiee penises look like, do we?
No, and why don't we after 30-odd years?
They could be, like, little and skinny, like camel penises. Like, you would expect a camel to have, like, a whopping dong, but they don't.
Well, you know a lot about animals. Would you speculate on the kind of nature of a Wookiee dong?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if I had to guess, I'd say maybe something like a...
You do have to.
Like a dog, I guess, but that's not being very, like... creative. He's an alien. It could be like anything. His dick could look like anything. It could come out and have a face on it. Like, we don't know.
Like in Kiso. yeah. Han Solo is like, put the lipstick away. It's not a makeup party.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a bit of weird news. Silver and Black is a Marvel adaptation, a film, but not produced by Marvel Studios. This is in the Sony wheelhouse. So, characters that they must own as part of the Spider-Man license, they're getting their own film, just like Venom's getting their own film. This is one of those bits of news which is like, it's got a release date, but I'm like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it.
In Inhumans. Remember when Inhumans was going to be a film?
Yeah, and Sony make a lot of bold promises. And then realize that we don't know what we're doing. I think the barometer is back on Fuck Sony.
Okay.
But Silver and Black, which characters do you think this is about? I know I told you.
I'm still
asking because I know you didn't care enough to remember.
Oh, fucking Black Cat and some silver fucking thing. I don't know.
Silver Sable.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
I don't
Black know what the Cat fuck that is. Silver, like...
Isn't a sable like a little ferrety thing?
Yeah. So
it's a ferret and a cat.
Yeah.
I'd watch it. I think I'd be far more interested in it if it was an actual ferret and an actual cat.
She's not an actual ferret, but she does climb up people's trouser legs.
Okay.
So that's something.
Mm-hmm.
She does go ferreting. But, so Black Cat is kind of like Marvel's Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
She's a sort of, you know, is she a villain? Is she a good person? She's probably a good person. But I thought she steals diamonds and stuff. And sometimes it's like, hey, Peter, a little bit of sexy time on a roof.
Mm.
Lots of cleavage. And Silver Sable is like that with silver hair and a silver suit.
All right.
And I think... was like a mercenary and funded some group of people that did things, a wild pack or something.
Okay.
So, you know, the two of them together with their cleavage, doing things. There is a director. The movie's going to come out on February the 8th, 2019. Interesting that I cannot imagine this will be the case now, just purely for age things, but... Black Cat is Felicia Hardy, and Felicia Hardy was played by Felicity Jones in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh,
just a sort of minor side character. Didn't obviously do the Black Cat thing. But God knows what'll be happening there. But if you want to know where I'm going to be February 8, 2019, I'll be in the cinema watching Silver and Black. But the thing that I thought was interesting about this, you know, we were talking about Tom Hardy Venom and said that it'd be really great if this is Tom Hardy's way to get into the Marvel Universe. So, you know, you might see him with some of the other characters. This article did point out that both Silver and Black and Venom are separate. They're not in the Tom Holland Marvel universe.
Mm.
So if you want to see... But, you know, like, what does that mean? If they thought that, oh, no, people want to see Tom Hardy in this thing and it'll make money.
They're going to do whatever they have to.
Not to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, they don't care. They don't give a shit.
They'll kill a baby.
Probably.
If they have to.
Isn't this, like, announcing it's coming out in February, like, already a bit of a death knell? Isn't that period, like, the dead period for films?
So, because it was going to be released in end of next year originally, and they pushed it back.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a bit suspicious.
Mm.
It's going to go up against the Lego Movie 2.
Mm.
Chris Pratt.
It's almost like they're saying the Titty Cat movie is not going to do well.
Yeah.
Mm.
Weird.
Mm.
I'll watch it. So, one other bit of news, a Bumblebee update. I'm going to try and find something about Hayley Steinfeld's Bumblebee to tell you each week.
I think there needs to be a rule where we cannot talk about Bumblebee news two consecutive weeks in a row. I know,
but it's going to be a really big film. Maybe the best film of next year.
It's not.
And it's got Hayley Steinfeld in it. Did you know that?
I did. And look, you know what? I've kind of softened on that because it's really, like, it's really good that she's been able to be in all these movies while completing high school.
It's got a tutor. Fuck you. I follow her.
Finishing up her primary school career. She's been in all these films.
I follow her on Instagram purely for Bumblebee news.
For bum news.
I want to know what's happening with Bumblebee.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to get the picture to post into the doc, but it was an Instagram story.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, if you want the latest on Bumblebee news, you know, you got to be in there, you got to follow, because I don't have the image to show you.
Oh, what a shame.
But she posted a sort of Snapchatty kind of filtery pic where she was a bumblebee, like an actual bumblebee, yellow, black stripes, wings.
Mm-hmm.
She had her eyes were bigger than normal and she was a bumblebee. Now, that's something we've never thought about for this film. Like, what if she actually becomes Bumblebee at some point? What if they're fused and that's why he hasn't been using his voice? Because everybody's going to know that he is Hayley Steinfeld. Because it's Steinfeld. The voice
of a prepubescent girl.
Well, not in those movies because time has passed. This one's set in the 80s.
Yeah, but like if they're fused, then does she still age? No, probably not. Because she'd be technically like dead and it would just be her consciousness, right?
Yeah.
So it would be her voice at the time that she died.
You know the best thing about this story?
What?
I got you to riff on Bumblebee.
I hate you.
Let's talk about Valerian and the City of 1,000 Balls, the film that we saw last night. This was a bit of a treat, wasn't it? We went on for a bit of an excursion.
Mm.
Went with Paris, Zach, Courtney, Ian, Fab, all our Fruitless Pursuits posse, Suzanne, of course. And that was fun. And I don't know what everybody thought because we ran away at the end of it.
It was so late. Like, everyone was sitting around at the end of the movie just hanging out. And I was like, fuck you guys. It's 11:15. I want to go home.
Yeah.
I can't get out of my row because you're all sitting there.
It was late. It was a long film too. Felt longer because of the lateness for me to a degree. Plus, we weren't in a specky cinema. Like, the sound was a bit low for me. Didn't have that surround kind of thing that a big 2-hour sci-fi film had there. And also, it was a pretty filthy cinema.
Yeah, it was a bit dirty. I didn't realise until the lights came up at the end and I sort of looked around at the seats around me and went, oh, okay.
This is an event in a loo. Come on, guys. And
I know you're in a toilet, but
yeah,
you don't have to act like you're in a toilet. We were actually
sitting there. The movie starts at 8:40.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting there.
It's so late for me. At 8:40.
As is like a half cinema of people. And then the cleaners come in because the place is just fucking encrusted with popcorn and all sorts of shit. And goes, everybody needs to get out while we clean this thing. I've never had that happen before.
No, never. And we go to the movies all the time.
So then we had to leave, and then they cleaned up, and then we went in after the time when the, you know, movie was supposed to start. Not the actual movie, but the trailers and shit. So anyway, we saw the film. I think I would like to have seen it in, I don't know if it's on an IMAX or at least VMAX something. Is there a 3D version? I don't know. I would have liked more immersive version of the film. It's been getting very mixed to bad reviews. I've heard some crazy hyperbole about how horrible it is. I like Luc Besson generally. I think he is, there's definitely a sort of very European sensibility there. He likes things to be a bit camp. I think he has this very sort of wicked childlike sense of wonder about things. I think he has had a fucking ball making this film. Bring back balls into the equation. How did you go? What did you think? Let's dissect this thing.
All right. Well, I will start by saying that I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would, but my expectations were rock bottom, like below rock bottom. And I was sitting there, the first opening scene, and thinking, oh my God, this is like great.
That,
like,
opening is so beautiful.
And it's beautiful and it's engaging. And I was like, oh wow, what the fuck is this? This is going to be unbelievable. And then they introduce the two main characters, and I have never felt so repelled, so instantly repelled by two characters than I did in that moment. And I've got to admit, Loreline kind of came around a little bit for me, but I fucking hated Valerian through that whole thing.
Have you, like, seen a lot of Dane DeHaan?
I've seen some. But, like, he's never been someone that's engaged me with his characters or his thing. But, I mean, like, what do we learn about Valerian through this film? That he's fucked a lot of women and he wants to fuck Loreline. That's all we learn about Valerian. And, like, that's just shitty. He sucks. He fucking sucks.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to disagree, because you start watching this film and I think the beginning is mind-blowing. I love it so much. And having heard the bad stuff, I was like, this is really good. And I heard people saying, oh, really early on. I was like, ugh. And then you have that sort of next sequence, which is still without the characters. And I'm like, well, this is interesting. This is engaging too. I'm enjoying this. And then, yeah, then you meet them. And they are douchebags. They are two people with no chemistry, with horrible dialogue, and this horrible relationship. But I feel like, one, I haven't, and to be fair, I know that 99% of the people outside of Europe won't have read the comics, so I don't know how truthful it is, and I understand that there is a degree of, you know, if they're very popular there, and this is how these characters are, you can't fuck with that. Like, you wouldn't make an Asterix and Obelix film and change their personalities, like, you know, so I don't know how true that is. But for me, they're a tone-deaf Princess Leia and Han Solo, which is why, like, he's supposed to be the swaggery, cocky, and she even does that, oh, as if I'd be interested in a stuck-up, arrogant kind of listing the things.
It is almost like, the film is almost like this big Star Wars Coruscant thing, but if they just removed all charisma from the leads.
Yeah, like, they just don't seem to like it. It's like a sort of high school production of Han Solo and Princess Leia. And, you know, where they've cast the guy that is good looking for the theatre guys, but not good looking.
Once you get out in the real world, it's like, ooh.
Of real guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that said, like, I was kind of, and particularly with her, was just a little bit seduced by the awfulness. And as it kind of progressed, I got really into her. I like them both. And I have seen a fair bit of DeHaan's work, so I'm kind of softened on him a bit. I do think they're both sort of, well, particularly him is woefully miscast. The great thing about her is she's so unlikable and standoffish and distant from the beginning, that when the script suddenly gets her to do some, like, kind of uncomfortable things or crazy things or humiliating things, I think there's a huge payoff there, because if it was someone more open and approachable and likable at the beginning, you'd be like, oh ho, here's this person doing this thing. Mm. But instead it's like, oh, she does not want it to be here. So I really enjoyed that. And I think that in terms of that sort of innovation and design and just wonderful stuff that you see in that beginning that we've been praising, I think there's a lot of that throughout the film. There are some wonderful sci-fi concepts in here. There are set pieces which are unlike anything I've seen before. No spoilers, but the concept of the great market and how that worked, I thought was so interesting.
Mm.
And even just the technology, like that's one of those great things about Star Wars is people aren't over-explaining everything. And the idea that some aliens who do feel very alien would come in and use weaponry and equipment that is unlike anything we've ever seen in a film before and has its own sort of logic and rules and no one's explaining it. You're just watching it and taking it in visually. I really like that. And my big takeaway from this film is that it's just fucking hog wild. It goes crazy at parts. There are sequences where you're just like, what the fuck am I watching now? From characters like the, let's say, sea guy.
Yeah.
To, you know, that whole sequence with that costume that she ends up wearing, which, and when you realize why she's wearing that costume and what the plan is for her. I just was delighted. I had a big idiot grin. I was just having so much fun.
I think the main issue for me was the fact that I wasn't engaged in these characters or their journey. So they're going around and doing these things, and I was looking forward to each next thing that we were going to be given, but every time these characters get to a sequence or a scenario, I'm so uninterested in what they're personally doing that I'm like, okay, cool, I've seen this, let's move on to the next thing. And so I was finding that I was getting a bit restless and bored in some bits because I was going, okay, well, you know, this is beautiful, I'm really appreciating that, but I don't care if these characters win or lose, I don't care if they achieve their objective, just go to the next interesting thing.
I would agree in the sense that that main storyline and the overarching villain. I thought that was one of the least interesting things because I think it was actually a very simple thing which was given more time than was necessary. And I think as a result of that, because that is the focus of the third act, I think the third act doesn't offer anything that's as innovative and interesting and creative as like the Great Market or the whole Rihanna arc or, you know, any of those things. So apart from the, like, so the designs in this thing are crazy. Those robot guard guys look so fucking cool. Like, if they were in the Star Wars,
yeah, they look like something straight out of Star Wars.
To buy that as a figure. There is a hot toy, you know, they're making hot toys of Valerian and and Laureline. You know I'm going to buy Laureline, right?
Yeah, I know you are. But, like, that's... like, sometimes Hot Toys confuses me because those things are going to be sitting in the bargain basement of retailers for years. Yeah, like, well, people aren't going to buy that shit.
To the point where I wonder if they'll even come out, depending on the response of the movie. But if they do, I'm getting Laureline. But then, you know... pardon me. We're looking at a very American viewpoint, really, of this film. Like, I think that the vast amounts of criticism you will hear is that kind of American western-y sort of like comparing it to that American blockbuster. And it's not a mainstream movie. It's got a very, very like French sensibility like all the way through. And I'm not just singling out America. I mean, I think it's like you will hear the same sort of thing from fellow Australians. But that's because we're so immersed in American culture. I think we are taking on that sort of viewpoint and that kind of standard of what a blockbuster story is like. I have a feeling that people generally are very afraid to voice an opinion that is contrary to what everybody is thinking. And I think it's because they don't want to look dumb.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually. When I... went into work a few weeks ago and people were talking about being excited about Dunkirk and I sort of went, well, you know, maybe temper your expectations. And people were like, oh, well, that's weird. Everyone's been saying it's so good. And everyone's kind of been coming in one by one after seeing Dunkirk and going, actually, you know what? We agree with you. It's almost like they've been given permission to disagree with the status quo, and they're relieved that they can say, you know what, I didn't actually like that much.
And I think people have this kind of, you know, they're watching something and there's dumb dialogue and they're like, oh no, like suddenly I'll be seen as dumb if I like this thing. But I don't think I'm dumb. And I recognize that it was dumb dialogue, but I had so much fun. And what I like about it is that, okay, if you've got two characters just sitting in a car or a warehouse or something having dumb dialogue, you're losing me. But even that first sequence, which you just felt, it was like a record scratch at a party and then everything goes silent. You felt the audience just turn on the film when you met these characters. But their scenario, what they're wearing, where they are, there's still, even when this is at its worst, there's so much just hog wild visual interest in craziness. And that's where I don't see why people get so upset about films or so, you know, angry or critical. Because, yes, if you go and see this thing, you're going to be exposed to some dumb dialogue. But if you don't go and see this thing and you hang out on the internet or with your friends or at work or whatever, you're going to hear some dumb dialogue. The advantage of seeing the film is you're going to hear dumb dialogue, which you're going to hear dumb people saying dumb things in your life anyway. But you're going to see things you've never seen before. And that, for me, is the appeal. And granted, this is in my wheelhouse. This is straight out of, like, Heavy Metal magazine. This is European sci-fi comics. I love it. I kind of like the campiness. I grew up on Star Wars and stuff. We've grown to accept Star Wars campiness. But even Force Awakens is a camp movie. So I embraced all that. I loved that. You could say to me, well, Fast and the Furious, that's got dumb dialogue and stuff, and you criticize that. But there's just nothing personally that invests me in that. But obviously they're incredibly popular movies. You guys were talking about them last night. You guys love them. People love those movies. And it's because it just appeals to their sensibility, and you overlook the dumb stuff because you're getting so much more out of it that you love.
Yeah, I mean, like, I enjoyed this movie. I wouldn't discourage people from seeing this movie or anything like that, but I'm also not gonna, there's stuff that I didn't like in it, but I'm not gonna shit on it, because, like, what Great Wall is for me, this is gonna be Great Wall for somebody. You know, this is gonna be somebody's Great Wall that they, you know, defend to the death, even though it has its faults. But, you know, there's, you know, plenty. And it's gonna be one of those things that people will avoid like the plague to start off with, and then in a year's time they'll watch it and go, oh shit, actually that's not that bad at all.
I loved it. I had so much fun.
I again, it was probably the time of night and stuff like that. I did I found it a little bit bloated. It was very long.
It's and a lot was, of film and a lot of ideas.
There's a lot going on, and I found like there was a big sequence, probably about 15 to 20 minutes worth of action, that you could have neatly taken out of the movie without it affecting anything going forward. And while I loved the stuff that happened in that sequence, it had no effect on the plot, and I probably would have liked to have 20 minutes trimmed off that movie, if I'm totally honest.
I agree that there were times where I felt like I'd been watching a TV series, like that the Great Market stuff was an episode that I'd watched you know, a few episodes ago. It seemed like a distant memory. But yeah, I had fun. And
I mean, that's all you can ask for. You spend your $20, you go and see a film, and you have fun.
And I know that people are going to just be awful about it. I just don't want to hear it. I don't want that bubble burst. It's kind of why.
Yeah, and all the people being awful about it, most of them haven't seen the fucking film. Like, and that's the thing that shits me the most. Like,
So let me just have fun with my crazy alien space movie and those, and my new eyebrow fetish, because it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fine.
All right. I want to tell you briefly about this thing that I was watching. I haven't finished yet. You know, we've talked about crazy monkeys going apeshit.
Yes.
This film, Monkey Up, is the pinnacle of crazy monkeys going apeshit movie. It's made by Air Bud Entertainment.
Ah, come on.
And it's about a monkey that can talk, who's an actor. He acts in, like, Monkey Up commercials, which are for an energy drink. And at the beginning, there's this, like, damsel in distress on a plane. And he comes, like, flying into the plane in a little, like, skydiver suit, and knocks out the guy. and holds up his energy drink and he puts on sunglasses and jumps out of the plane. And in the course of the movie, he wears clothes and he drives a car and he does kung fu. And his relatives wear clothes and they fart. And he rides a skateboard. And he takes selfies and stuff. And he wants to be like a serious actor and get this role. But the director doesn't think he could do it because he doesn't know about family. So he goes and lives with the family to learn about family. Mm-hmm. And he's a better actor. Like the actual monkey. Forget the CGI mouth. He's a better actor than the little girl who really wants a monkey friend.
Mm-hmm.
And these monkeys are just going like really apeshit. If you want to see monkeys. There's a bit where Hot Mum draws a bath and he's climbed into the bath and she doesn't even know he's in the house and she gets in the bath, so he's in there with naked Hot Mum and she thinks he's like a flannel or a sponge or something and she starts like rubbing mum naked body with the monkey. It's like one of the best films.
Is this a kid's film
of the year? Yeah.
Oh, that's fucked.
She like rubs her back.
Oh, so she's not rubbing her naked Hot Mum titties with the monkey.
Well, it's implied.
Okay.
In my mind. Yeah.
Ugh.
Like, because, you know, they cut around tastefully around Hot Mum's nudity.
Uh-huh.
And she's Hot Mum, not like in a, like, Sofia Vergara. She's, like, very sort of, you know, family movie kind of thing. But she's pretty hot.
Okay.
Especially in the context of Monkey Up. So yeah, it's so good. And the monkey, like, did they get a lot out of this monkey? It's like capuchins?
Capuchin?
Yeah. He's doing all sorts of stuff and sometimes they
There's probably about 15 different monkeys trained to do different skills.
You shut up! And
sorry for bringing reality to the conversation.
He can drive a car.
Uh-huh.
And he sticks his tongue out.
Monkey number 62 can drive a car.
When he's driving the car, he turns around and sticks his tongue out. And he goes and steals a banana and a dog stops him and the dog can talk. And he's like wearing a little suit and carrying a banana.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's really good stuff.
Okay. Like,
I think in terms of monkey movies going apeshit, I'd give it a 5.
Okay. I think you talking about how much you love Monkey Up is really... not making Valerian look very good.
No, but that's a different scale. Mm. Come on. Monkey movies compared
No, I mean, like, if you're saying the two things you've enjoyed most this week are Monkey Up and Valerian, I don't think that speaks well for Valerian.
I'd give Valerian 4 porgs.
Okay.
Out of 5. How many porgs would you give it, Porg Life? Porg it up, Jacinta.
I think on Letterboxd I gave it 3.5.
Okay. I might even... I'm going to buy it. I want to watch it, like, without that tiredness and... sort of at my own pace, yeah.
I think now that I've seen it and I've seen everything, I think the wonder of discovery has passed me by and I probably wouldn't be too interested in seeing it again.
Well, we're all different. We're all beautiful, unique.
Little snowflakes.
Ballerina statues. All right. One thing we've got to do left, and that is talk about Game of Thrones. Fuck yeah, Game of Thrones. Episode 4, was it?
Yeah.
I think it was episode 4.
Sure. Let's episode 177.
Oh, come on. Let me mansplain numbers to you again. So we are going to talk spoilers for that episode. If you're not interested in that, haven't seen Game of Thrones or whatever, then you may leave now. But look, if you're not, like, we say that, but don't think, like, if you're not going to watch Game of Thrones, then don't just disappear, because we're still going to be entertaining. Listen.
I mean, there's no guarantees there, but we'll try anyway.
We're going to do our best. Go on. Well, suck at the sauce bottle, mate.
Well, we might not do our best, but we'll do something.
We're going to do something. Yeah, that's the promise that we can keep. We're going to do something. So, if you are bailing like a little sissy baby, then thank you for listening. Go to fruitlesspursuits.com to find out everything we're doing, particularly this week, because I'm hoping that this new Dungeons & Dragons podcast airs. I'm so excited for you guys to hear it. I actually listened to it, and it'll be episode 1, which is part 1 of a 3-part adventure that kicks it all off, called The Mystery of the Pie Mines. I am the Dungeon Master, by the way. There's lots of fun NPC characters I get to voice. I'm really just I'm proud of this show. So you can find out about it at fruitlesspursuits.com. You can find out about it on our Facebook group. I really want you to tell all your friends about that. That's going to be a lot of fun. And stop that, my phone. I should have turned my phone off.
You should have fucking
turned it off.
I put mine on a fucking cushion.
It's on silent, but it's just vibrating because people are really interested about this show and they're tweeting about it already.
I've had two messages during this show, but because I'm considerate, I put my phone on a pillow so that it wouldn't fucking vibrate.
Oh, and sorry, I don't carry around. Like, should I put it on a...
It's your fucking pillow!
In a nest of gold filigree on a satin pillow.
There is a cushion within reaching distance of your arm.
It is not, and I'm proving that.
You're not putting your fucking arm down. You are so fucking annoying.
You are so fucking annoying. No, that's it. We're not going to do episode 200.
Okay.
We quit. Okay. This is the breakup. No, we are. Of course we are. So next week, episode 200. Look forward to that.
We'd like some of the fucking worst movies.
It's going to be huge. Ooh. It's going to be the best episode ever. Yeah, and that is a guarantee. 5 porgs out of 5.
Yeah, we did say this week we might see Wind River. We didn't get around to that because of just timing stuff. So we might try and see that next week, which I'm really looking forward to it because, like, fucking Sicario and Hell or High Water, but in the snow.
Yeah, I'm cool for it.
Yeah.
But is Logan Lucky next week as well, though?
It is, yeah.
We'll just do everything.
We'll just fucking do everything.
Do a double, mate.
Maybe.
Drive-in double theatre movie thing.
We'll have to find a fucking drive-in. We might have to drive back to 1970 to find it.
Why don't you just drive into the cinema?
Why don't you just drive into the fucking sea?
Why don't you... So thank you, everybody. Game of Thrones, rate, review, iTunes, Patreon, all that sort of beautiful stuff. Fruitless Pursuits, baby, you know where it's at. Porg life, porg life. Game of Thrones spoilers start.
No.
So isn't this, like last week you said, Daenerys, what a bummer. What a bumhead.
Mm.
What a boring old bumhead. And I said, but the thing about Daenerys is once she gets back in the game, once she does this thing she's been promising to do, we'll all be excited again. It'll be great. Huh? Yeah. She rode a dragon. There was fire everywhere. There was a big battle, dude.
It wasn't really a big battle. I'm, like, not as excited about this thing as everybody else seems to be. Because, like, the whole thing with that episode, right, is that she's on her little dragon castle and she's like, oh, we've got no fucking supplies. We need supplies because our armies are hungry. And then she's like, hey, I should, like, attack these Lannister dudes. And Jon's like, maybe don't attack the Lannister dudes because your father was a psycho and people didn't really like that very much. So maybe don't be a psycho. And she's like, I'm not fucking listening to you, sad boy. And then she goes and, like, destroys a convoy of supplies. She sets the entire fucking convoy on fire and destroys all the supplies. Like, she could have used those supplies. Like, she's just not a very fucking good strategist. She might have a dragon, but she's not using her dragon effectively.
I also thought those horse blokes were a bit wasted.
They didn't even need to be there. She's got a fucking dragon.
She had blood on her hands because some of those horse blokes died.
They sure did.
And I thought it was just going to be a little... Well, when they first heard the noise, I thought a dragon's just going to fly up.
Yeah.
And then when the horse guys came, I thought, okay, that's strange. But maybe, like, they're all going to be there and they're going to, like, oh, we're going to fight these horse guys. And then the dragon comes up and goes, surprise.
And then the horse guys just stand there and watch.
They're like, you know, if we have to come in, we'll come in. But we're just going to watch this. We're just going to show. But no, they went in, they got killed.
Mm. I mean, there is the thought that, you know, they are warriors. They are bred to fight and war and kill people, and they hadn't done that for a while, so maybe they were just really jonesing for a fight.
So they wanted to.
And they wanted to. That's probably what I think is going on there, but still, it doesn't make a lot of strategic sense.
Does it make a lot of travel sense as well? I can buy that she quickly gets there on the dragon.
Yeah.
But the fact that they also quickly got there on the horses, unless she carried the horses one by one on the dragon.
And doesn't she say that they're not, like, currently there? Like, they were not even at Dragonstone. Like, they were somewhere else, weren't they? And then they came from somewhere else and then went there.
Yeah, I don't know, because they, you know, Jaime and his group, they were actually still traveling back from the battle. So anyone else you would think would be have a lot of catch up.
Mm.
Unless you were flying on a dragon.
Yeah.
But a horse, last time I checked, it's not a dragon.
No, it's not.
So, that was a bit of a problem. I also, there was this mystery body of water.
Yeah, like, so Jamie's there with his spear he's doing his little suicide mission where he's going to stab the dragon or stab Daenerys or stab whatever gets in front of his spear. And
not a euphemism.
I know. I wouldn't object. But he gets there and someone knocks him off his horse, and then he's galloping along in the shallows of a lake or some kind of body of water.
I thought there were just a couple of puddles.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we've had horses running around. We've had, you know.
Yeah.
No one's got their floaties on.
No. And then so he gets knocked off his horse, and then suddenly he goes from being in the shallows to being in like 50 feet of water. And look, I've seen lakes. And I feel like I know how they work.
Yeah.
And I feel like how they work is not having, like, a significant drop-off of that nature.
They don't just appear, either, do they?
They don't just appear. Like, yeah. You know, there's a gradual kind of deepening of the lake. Yeah.
And because, like, if you're going to put them on maps and stuff, you need them to be consistently and reliably in the same place.
Mm.
I thought that was a bit of a cop-out. I thought that... maybe if Jamie's going to charge, that maybe that was should have been his final act of hubris and it was time to go. Because, you know, I'm beginning to appreciate that, all right, maybe these characters, you know, you win until you lose.
Mm.
So sometimes you fuck up. And it didn't seem like a smart thing that he was doing.
No, it made, yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense for him to do that.
Or maybe he could have just been, like, hideously burnt like Two-Face.
Mm.
And then that,
and
you know,
he and the Hound can like bond over having burnt heads.
Yeah, well, maybe they could fuse together and put their two burnt halves together and be one burnt man and one, like, with magic. I mean, Melisandre could knock it out. She's the Deus Ex Machina of sexy redheads. So yeah, who knows? So yeah, there was all that. It was a very satisfying battle, though. I mean, I did get a kick out of that. And it was the lift that the episode needed, because the whole first half are very slow, awkward conversations where nobody has anything to say to each other.
Mm.
And the pauses in between each line, you could drive a clown car.
And, like, honestly, if they're trying to convince us that Danny/John is endgame... the whole sequence in Storytime Cave is really not endearing that ship to me. There's no chemistry.
That was a cave of convenience, too, because we talked last week about how John had no proof.
Yeah.
He went there, all cocksure, half-cocked, being a full cock in there, went in there and said, oh, White Walkers are coming, they're scary shit. And she was like, yeah, as if... And then he goes, oh, by the way, come down into this cave because you don't have, like, anything better to do. Which he doesn't actually seem to have anything better to do at the moment. So she goes down and he's like, oh, look at this art. And, oh, look, this proves that there were White Walkers. I wanted the camera to pan around and show a wet paintbrush in his back pocket.
Because it's like, oh, look, here's some circles, extremely detailed pictures of White Walkers. Oh, that seems legit.
Yeah, it was like... it was like primitive, and then it was like someone had copied a publicity still from the Game of Thrones art book or something. Bloody hell. Bloody hell, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But no, I'm enjoying it. I'm back, sort of, you know, we've come this far. There's only 7 episodes, right, this season?
Yeah, something like that.
That's because it's costing just... so many millions of dollars to do all this cheers.
Again, I am enjoying it, but again, I think it is like, you know, you want all the action, but then given the action and I'm like, this is too much action.
We said before, it's just missing its richness. It's missing that sort of rich novel element, and now it's become a TV show.
Yeah, and Bran is a tit.
Bran!
Like, we need to get rid of Bran.
He needs to check himself before he wrecks himself.
He does, yeah.
What's his end game? I guess he's going to be walking. Will he be walking a dragon? I think
that's where we're heading towards, yeah. He'll walk the dragon and then, like, turn the dragon back on Daenerys' army or something. I don't know.
I think we're down a dragon now, though, right?
Well, Drogon's injured.
Was that... I don't think that was Drogon.
I think that was Drogon. He's the darkest one.
No, I think that was, like, the yellowish one.
No, I think it was Drogon.
I don't think
but
it was Drogon.
But I think...
And I think that dragon's dead, which will leave two. Maybe Bran will walk a dragon for Jon to ride, because that'll explain, like, no one's going to believe Jon could just jump on a dragon and and ride it. But if Bran was down there doing his little eye-rolly magic business, then everybody would fully accept it and be happy. And we wouldn't have any nits to pick.
I think one of the funniest things is, like, Sansa realizing that all her siblings are complete fucking freaks now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, right. They've all gone through these crazy journeys, and she's just like, what the fuck?
You can't go home again. That's the thing. You can't recapture the past. It's like, oh, won't it be so great? It'll be just like old Tao. Fuck no.
Sansa's like, oh, I thought me getting raped was the worst thing to happen to any of us. And Jon's like, well, I fucking died.
I don't think I can top that comment, so should we call it?
Let's call it.
All right, so thanks, everybody. Next week, we'll be looking at some other movies. And it'll be our 200th episode!
It will actually be the 200th episode!
And it'll be really exciting.
Yeah,
so,
unless I make Luke recount and we just make sure that it's the 200th episode.
Pretty sure it'll be the 200th episode. Yeah. So I hope you enjoyed episode 177, Sneaky Sly One, coming back from the past. Proving again, you can never go back. So yeah, up until then, porg it up, babies.
Porg it up in Camelot.